At Arizona State University, we've made online education better, smarter, and more personalized so you can go further in your aspiring field.
I decided to pursue medicine once I realized that ASU did have the online program for biological sciences. You're still required to learn the same curriculum. You're still being tested on the same content that anyone would be tested on in person. The comprehensiveness of the program prepared me so well for medical school.
Explore over 350 plus programs at asuonline.asu.edu.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome to your new home, my friend. Safe from the dangers and the strangers of the outside world. Here, you can rest without worry. It is, after all, your house. But whose was it before? Something's been itching at the back of your brain. A stirring worry that while you're safe from what's outside, a creeping dark has infested the still corners within. From bedside witches keeping kids up late, to mother mimics plucking out eyes on the astral plane. Join us on this episode of Belief Hole as we creep down the hall and crack the closet door to expose the secret passage from your home to the unknown.
Conspiracy.
Synchronicity.
Sasquatch.
Homunculus.
Alien races.
Satanism in Hollywood.
MK Ultra.
Tartaria.
There's like a whole... I've been watching this one guy.
Close the door, Ed.
Jury! Close your door!
What's the,
Inner Earth Disagreements.
Ghost Dad!
I like that movie.
Dogman.
Bohemian Grove.
Corey Feldman.
Magicians are demons.
Spectres and
spirit summonings.
Paralysis.
Strange disappearances.
Sky whale phenomenon.
Yes. Alternative history.
Shadow people.
Shh, quiet! I'm trying to say words with the mouth.
It's getting dicey out there.
Poltergeists.
That's cool.
Anunnaki.
What is the moon?
Elf towers.
I would never talk about it. That's old.
Y2K.
Cover-ups.
Apocalyptic catastrophe.
Vampire.
Well, hello, hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Welcome to Be Here. I'm Jeremy.
I'm John.
And I'm Chris, the best. And we are the brothers of the Belief Hole, and you guys are the best because you're here with us in the hole today for some really fascinating stories. Yes.
As per usual, we bring the heat.
And I love these episodes because these are the episodes that allow us to head out into the night and find that abandoned motel of the unexplained and peel back those layers of wallpaper, the mildewing wallpaper of reality.
Okay.
And find the patterns that connect us all with the strange and inexplicable events that exist.
Yes. But unlike that wallpaper, these stories do not stink of mold and moss.
It's true.
That's a weird analogy, Chris. I like it, but it's strange.
Did you say what the episode was?
Strange Listener Stories 26.
We are definitely getting elderly. I mean, we've been doing it for a while now.
Yeah.
We've heard a lot of stories.
26 and six seasons. So yeah, pretty regular on these stories. When we're not doing the deep research specific topic episodes, we like to bring these cabinet of curiosity sort of shows where we bring listener stories in and yeah, explore those strange things.
I think people really like these too. I do. I think they're some of my favorite episodes just because I like the variety.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I like, you know, because there are listeners, there's a special attachment to this stuff. So
absolutely. Yeah. I mean, going back to one of the things that I think that inspired a lot of us in this was growing up listening to Art Bell on long drives.
Yeah.
And you'd hear, it'd be like the Halloween specials, Ghost to Ghost specifically, where it's, you know, you're hearing random tastes of paranormal reality sprinkled in from people all over the world. And it just opens up this door of what is or what could be. And I think that's, yeah, it's just a treasure chest mm-hmm. of strangeness.
And I think because we've been around long enough, I think the stories just keep getting weirder and better.
We have a broader base to dip from because we get so many submissions now.
Yeah.
So we can really find those really unique accounts.
And you can match things together with patterns and themes, which is kind of cool, specifically for listener stories. You can bring stuff together based on kind of a through line where it is, the stories are different and unique, but there is a pattern. And for this episode specifically, we are going to be walking the haunted halls of the Belief Hole and its haunted house. Because in this episode, I found a few really great stories which led me down kind of a rabbit hole of similar encounters that take place in the heart.
In the home.
Of life. The home. Yeah.
The heart of life.
Nowhere else to say that.
It's where the heart is.
Home is where the heart is, and it's also where the haunts are, apparently. Mm. In this episode, we're going to be taking you back to your childhood home and into your bedroom, maybe while you're playing Nintendo or, you know, your parents are watching TV in the living room. And yet there's something strange going on around you.
Something watching you.
Something watching. Something outside the window, perhaps. So these are the kinds of stories we're going to have.
Or inside the window.
Or inside the window. Maybe in the glass itself.
What?
There's a story where looking out the window at someone.
Oh, yeah. That's more than one story, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's oh, wow.
One of these patterns in this episode is the window peepers.
This is not a peeper.
That came out wrong.
This is a straight up demon.
That's what I'm saying. Window demon is what I meant to say.
He's a little peeper.
I didn't mean a peeper.
No, he wants your soul.
Yeah. Oh, man. Perhaps.
That's what it sounds like when they describe the creature.
Well, we'll get there. Yeah, that's a good one.
Okay.
Maybe want to take him out for a late night milkshake. You never know. Grab a thick.
Okay.
Usually milkshake treaters have...
Milkshake treaters.
His eyes as dark as the...
As the empty void of the abyss.
Eternity, yeah. Just come out for a milkshake.
A little sugar will turn that around.
Anyways, let's get you spooked in your own home. You guys ready?
Yeah, I've got a quick little anecdote. Not really a full story, but just a fun, perfect little anecdote to get us into the mood.
And this comes from a listener, right?
Yeah, this comes from Sean, and Jeremy titled it Midnight Snack, and it's the human sort of snack. It takes place in Springfield, Illinois, 1980 to 1982. A lot of these stories today are from the 80s, so that's always fun. And John, yeah, this one I think you might be able to relate to, being an older brother of us.
When we were kids living in the country and scared of everything, my brothers and I would never go to the bathroom alone if we needed to go during the night. One hot summer night, my older brother woke me up in our bedroom to go to the bathroom with him. While we were walking down the hallway, he had his hand on what he thought was my back. Then he heard a noise behind him and turned to see me stumbling to catch up to him. When he turned back around, he saw a shadow person run down the hall and into our kitchen, then fly into the side of our refrigerator and disappear.
Okay,
yeah. Short and sweet. Nice little encounter with a shadow person. Thanks, John. Thanks for sending that in.
Yeah, great story. So we got a mimic type situation.
Maybe, or he just thought it was a, you know, his brother because it was a tall, shadowy figure, but...
I think if you got your hand on the back of a shadow man, you'd probably not think it was your brother, I guess, unless you're half awake. But you can't really touch a shadow person.
I just thought that he went into the refrigerator. Like, does he exist within the refrigerator?
Super hungry.
Pig, starve your ghouls, we always say it.
Starve those ghouls, yeah.
John, did you ever ask us to go to the bathroom with you at night when we were growing up?
All the time. I loved being in the bathroom with you.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
I meant like an escort to the bathroom.
It wasn't until I think high school where you stopped taking us to the bathroom with you, if I remember correctly.
What? Yeah, that's not true at all.
The bath.
No, I did the exact opposite.
No, but Sean, thank you. That sets up our episode really well, just to get you in the spooky mood of...
Yeah, absolutely.
Those little one-offs.
It touches on themes that will play throughout this and that play throughout the homes of people, which are shadow figures, mimics, a very common thing. Another story in our episode today has that. And it brings up the interesting question, are mimics that we see, could they be the same phenomenon, just in a different form? As a shadow person, if he had his hand on the back of, say, he thought it was a brother, maybe possibly a mimic, if you will, evil doppelganger of sorts, that maybe possibly manifested itself into a shadow figure. Could it be the same thing? Is what I'm saying.
Like, I'm going to push back on that a little bit because I just think there's not enough information within this anecdote to say that it looked like his brother. It could have just been it was dark. He thought, you know.
All right. Let's move on to the stories.
Let's do it. That was a story, but we'll continue to more.
That was more of a little anecdote.
That's true. I did call it an anecdote.
To the a little bit more weight.
The deep, dark stories. All right. This first story is called The Sack Witch. And this happened in Yuba City, California. I've had this image in my head for 30 years. My story begins when I was somewhere between 11 and 12. In my childhood room, I had my bed placed at the south and east walls, with the window to the left of where I lay my head. I've always had to have my head near the wall and sleep so that I can face my bedroom door. I don't know why I've always been compelled to do this, but I cannot remember a time I haven't always felt most comfortable sleeping in this manner. One night, somewhere between 2 and 3 a.m., I slowly woke up to the sound of whispers. I couldn't make out what was said, but the voice was female and dusky. It was soothing, but had a hint of that of a heavy smoker. I tried to move my head, but I was unable to move it. As my eyes slowly opened, I could see. I was for some reason positioned with my head at the foot of my bed. I could see the glimmer of the light peering out of the partially open curtains and the faint red glow of my alarm clock bouncing off my bed, the window, and the curtains and hazing on the walls. I wasn't allowed to have anything on my walls as a kid, so the emptiness of the walls created eerie colors from the outside lights peeking in and from the clock's red haze. I tried to rise to get my body back into my preferred position. I was not able to. I was unable to move. Something was holding me down. My shoulders were pinned down. I could slowly move and wiggle my toes, but nothing else was capable of moving. I couldn't find my voice. I could feel burlap, a raspy fabric, brush against my forehead and my ears. With my eyes strained, I was able to look up, and I could see coarse, curly brown and gray hair. It tickled my forehead. I could hear breathing, feel the slight wind of it, and smell dampness, a very musty smell. I began to panic. And then, nothing. I woke up in the morning, curled next to the wall with my head at the foot of my bed. I have no idea if what I experienced was a nightmare or a fever dream of some sort, despite being perfectly fine health-wise. Later, I learned that what I experienced was possibly sleep paralysis, and some people call it the old hag experience. So I figured it was just a child's mind creating some sort of illusion that developed into fear. The real terror of the situation actually happened many years later. When my daughter was 3.5 or 4, I was a stay-at-home father, working nights and weekends. One day, I noticed she was very groggy and sleepy. I asked her why she was so tired. Her response was,
"No sleep. I no sleep, Daddy."
I asked her why she wasn't sleeping and what was wrong. She said, and I have no idea how to spell this, I can only write it as it sounded. She said,
"Listen to."
Shocked and confused, I asked her what is "listen to." Speaking as a matter of fact, she said,
"Listen to is a witch."
She said she comes into her room at night and keeps her up. She walks around her room and talks all night, not letting her sleep. I asked, "What does Lisen Tu look like?" She turned to me and said,
"She has long curly hair. It looks like Nana's, but long. It's long, like a horse. It's gray, it's brown. She wears a bag for potatoes. It's scratchy. I don't like it. It scratches me when she sits on my bed."
I was shocked. I couldn't bring myself to say anything when she broke the silence by saying,
"You know her, Daddy. She was your friend too."
I spoke with my wife about what our daughter had said. My wife said that our daughter had told her about Lisen too as well, but just chalked it up as an imaginary friend. I never told my wife exactly what our daughter told me and didn't want to worry her. For the next month, I didn't sleep much. I spent my nights in my daughter's room watching over her in view of her window sitting next to her bed with a loaded shotgun. Perhaps I was too rash in how I handled it, but neither my wife nor I ever heard about Lee Sen Tu again. Periodically, I get odd feelings at night and I check on my child. She is much older now, but I can't help but wonder why this happened and if it will happen again.
What's up with the burlap sack?
Yeah, strange.
That's super creepy.
Yeah. Obviously, the fascinating aspect of this account is that it was this multi-generational haunt.
Yeah.
Whatever this entity is, was there with him when he was a child, and then he chalked up to being a fever dream or sleep paralysis, and then his daughter experiences it decades later.
Definitely would suck to have children, you know, especially if something really scared you as a kid, to have to hear it from your daughter, you know, that yeah. she's experiencing the same thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, how unsettling. And that lack of control, like how do you deal with that? I mean, I've heard stories like this before, specifically when it comes to obviously hauntings, but even imaginary friends.
Oh, yeah.
Where you'll have, you as a kid, Petey was my imaginary friend or whatever, and, you know, very specific description. And then you have children and then one of your kids starts talking about Petey. You start wondering, was that an imaginary friend?
Yeah.
Or was it something more? And I think it's interesting, you know, he suggests the old hag syndrome. And usually that's accompanied with a pressure on the chest and the thing sitting on you, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I just found it interesting that it seemed like something more that was bedside.
Yeah.
And with the hair hanging down and touching him and the damp breath.
Just creepy that it's yeah. pacing at night and speaking to herself and not letting the child sleep.
That was a creepy aspect of the story.
What he says at the end about he just can't help but wonder why this happened and if it will happen again. I think that would be the scariest part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is
no way to protect against it.
Well, you just don't know. Am I like cursed or something?
Yeah.
You know, like,
is it our family?
What would cause this thing to be here and to stick around? That's how I would feel.
Yeah. It's interesting because it's very, very Victorian kind of thing, like a curse or an entity attaching itself to a family line. You know, which actually, if it is a witch, I mean, not saying it's a witch, could be any sort of entity, but that would be totally in line with the witch idea of a curse.
Right.
It follows you. Maybe his great-great-grandfather stole some land from her, you know, if it is a witch.
Family lineage curses are definitely not a fun thought.
No, no. Not fair.
There's someone left a YouTube comment that thought that our family had a curse or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't like that.
Because of, you know, we've had like certain paranormal experiences. Yeah. And I was like, well, overall, our lives are pretty good.
Yeah, the experiences weren't
other
overly
than
negative.
Jeremy's continued breaking of screens. I don't really.
That's not so much a curse as a skill.
Yeah. The only curse I ever think of is like we have all yet to have children and that we all want children. That is a classic kind of curse. End the line.
That's a personal choice, though, kind of.
Yeah. Well, I want kids, but.
I mean, but you have to go out and meet women in order
That's
to
a
do
myth.
That. I don't think anything's holding us back as yeah. far as a curse. Now, if we all had wives and we couldn't get them pregnant, that would be a different story.
Yeah, that's true. That would definitely be a curse.
Yeah.
Only way to explain that. A curse that made us workaholics and we were just all spending too much time working on the
you know,
show.
We've given our lives to you guys. Yeah, I hope you appreciate it.
You're our children.
We're getting rid of our lineage for you.
Each episode is a child.
Anyway, this went weird. Let's go to the next story.
Yeah.
We'll cut it out.
Oh, I liked it.
But thank you so much for that. Oh, Anonymous. We didn't really mention that he didn't want his name shared. So not looking for attention so much as just sharing it.
Right.
And getting the story out there. And wondering if anyone else has experienced something similar. So Yuba City, California.
He also has a sketch up from his memory. And we'll have that in the link.
Oh, yeah. This will be in the show notes and on the YouTube video. This is a sketch he did from his memory, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And really creepy. It's from the perspective of if you were laying down in bed and that long curly hair is hanging over you from the witch. You can just imagine yourself in that situation.
Yeah. All right, what do we get next down the hallway? What door are we opening, Jer?
Yeah, let's travel down the hallway and experience something extremely inexplicable. I want to know what you guys think this might be, because she's certainly looking to see if anyone has experienced anything like this. It's different, and it's, I would argue, it feels darker than a lot of stories we've heard before. So
buckle up.
Buckle up. This is called, I call this, Shadow of the Juggernaut. And this comes from Felicia in Missouri.
Hi, John, Chris, and Jerry. I just want to thank you guys for being the best part of my day. I get ready to you in the mornings and listen to you throughout the day if possible. I have listened to many of your episodes where I can relate or I have a story to go with, but this is the first time I'm sending one in. I am a person who has experienced paranormal activity throughout my life. I wanted to give you the story of the one that I feel was the scariest because I can't explain exactly what it was or why it happened. My name is Felicia and I live in Missouri. On this occasion, I was asleep in my bed. At this time, I had been experiencing a lot of astral spiders, and I would wake up in the morning with flip-flops on my pillow because I would get them in the night trying to kill the spiders. So I was laying in bed and something told me to wake up. I can't explain this. This happens to me a lot. And whenever that happens, there is usually something going on in my home that is supernatural in activity. And that happened on this night and I feel the wake up and I open my eyes and I am laying in bed and I can see into the hallway from my bed. And there is a massive being holding another being in its arms. The massive being is just so huge. It's not the size of a regular human. And it is all dark in color. It's like a silhouette. And it is holding the other being in its arms. Like its arms are wrapped around it, holding it to it. And that is the size of like a regular man or human. There were no details on these things. And I laid there staring at them and I feel fear. I can tell you that sometimes when I have seen things, I have felt fear and sometimes I have not. Sometimes it feels like maybe something is there to watch over me. In this instance, that's not what I felt. I didn't know what it was, but I could tell that this was something powerful. And it just levitated through my ceiling, holding the other being in its arms. I don't know what it was. Someone suggested to me that it might have been a death angel, but I don't know why there'd be a death angel in my hallway. No one died in my home that night. I don't know if anybody else has had an experience like this where they have seen a being holding another being and one of them being extremely huge. Anyway, I love your show and I appreciate what you guys do. Keep up the good work. Thanks.
Thank you, Felicia. Fascinating. Yeah. Anyone out there seeing a massive being holding, kidnapping a smaller being and flying through your ceiling? Has anyone out there seen something like that?
Or helping?
Do you think it's helpful?
Could be. If you're holding something in its arms and it's not restraining it, maybe it's just helping it to take it somewhere. It could be the death angel idea. It doesn't have to be necessarily that somebody died that night there. What if it was a wayward spirit that finally was crossing over?
Yeah. But it's really unique, I think. You rarely hear of an entity or a spirit or whatever this might be, seeing it third-person perspective passively interacting with another being.
Yeah.
You know, it's grabbing, it's holding this other thing and flying away with it. Just a super strange.
I mean, my favorite theory is always that it's some interdimensional traveler on a quest, you know. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily dead, but just in this different plane of existence where you just get this brief shadow impression of what's happening in this other reality, this other realm.
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you for sending that. And yeah, if you guys have any ideas, I'll leave a comment or shoot us an email.
Yes, absolutely. And my name is Jeremy, not Jerry, Felicia, but it's very close. And my grandma used to call me Jerry.
That's true.
So I take it in a kindly way. And your story rocks. So thank you. And let us know if it ever happens again.
Cool. Shall we continue on?
What's next?
Let's head down the hallway and step out the door and look back at your home to see something unexpected and unsettling. This is called The Man in My Window. And this comes from Belle. And happened in St. John's, Newfoundland, Canada, June of 1999.
It was a warm summer evening in June 1999, and I was 6 years old. I lived in a three-story townhouse in the middle of a small town. My father and I were going to Blockbuster to rent a movie. We left the house and got in his Ford Bronco. My dad put the car in reverse and turned around to start backing out of the driveway. I looked out of the windshield and up to the living room window on the second story, expecting to see my dog, Whiskey, in his usual place to watch us leave. Instead, I saw a pale white man in a trench coat and a rimmed hat. Illuminated from the truck headlights below, he had a small mouth. His nose was there, but definitely not pronounced, and his eyes were solid black. It was like looking into the void of pure evil, not a glossy black, but the absence of light. You know when you see people every day and see light in their eyes? Even when people have their eyeballs tattooed black, you can sense light and identity from them. His eyes were nothingness, yet so mesmerizing, they seemed the only real part about him, like everything else was just an illusion. He was looking straight at me with no facial expression. This overwhelming sense of dread washed over me. I turned to my dad and shouted,
"Dad, look!"
My dad slammed on the brakes, and we looked up at the window I was pointing at. No one was there. This absolutely terrified me, but my dad just assumed I was seeing things and proceeded to blockbuster. I was very reluctant to enter the house when we returned home, which started to freak my dad out. He coaxed me inside, and we slowly investigated each room. We found nobody else in the house, and I have never seen the figure since. Growing up, when the topic of ghosts came up, I would say, "Oh man, I have a ghost story," and tell the story of what I called the man in my window. It was not until 2019 when a documentary called The Hat Man, Documented Cases of Pure Evil, came out that I learned other people had similar encounters. When I saw his face in the trailer, my heart sank. I could not believe I was not the only one who had seen this man. Many people recount him being a shadow or silhouette, or appearing when they're falling asleep. This wasn't the case for me, as I was wide awake when I saw his pale white face. I can't prove to anyone without a doubt that I saw the Hat Man, and that's okay, because I know what I saw. I can't help but think. Some say he's just an urban legend, but if this urban legend is true, what other urban legends are true? Thanks for telling my story. My boyfriend and I love your podcast. You guys are fantastic. My personal feeling about the Hat Man is they are demonic.
I obviously had not heard this or read this story yet when I made the milkshake comment. I take it back.
Okay.
Probably not in the mood for dairy. Probably for souls.
Yeah.
That is pretty terrifying. It's interesting. I haven't heard a story. Usually when I hear Hat Man accounts, they happen in the bedroom when someone's occupying the bedroom. It's interesting to hear it from an exterior perspective, looking up in the window.
Yeah. But just to be that far away and still sense that it's just like pure evil.
Yeah.
Like there's no, it's just endless dread.
Right. Yeah.
Endless nothingness.
To go back into that house, it is interesting that it's not a shadow. Usually you hear of the Hat Man accounts, it's like an all silhouette figure. So this is interesting that there's a, it was a pale white man with,
maybe because he was close to the window and the light was on him more.
Who was that Mortal Kombat character? Not Shang Tsung, but the one that threw the hat, the Cabal or something like
oh,
that?
Oh, yeah. I don't remember the name, but yeah.
That's who this reminds me of. Probably.
What? That? Why?
Yeah, he got the rimmed hat.
He did have a tiny mouth.
Tiny mouth, rimmed hat.
And little nose.
And good little kung nose. Fu. Yeah, I think it's him. She did leave a note at the end here that said, "P.S. This is a little silly, but over the last 25 years of my life, this image that she presented for us is the closest depiction of what I saw. It humorously evokes that eerie feeling from that evening." And I'll just say this image is not anything like what she saw as far as literally, but
what?
I think the feeling of it. So here you go. This will be the show notes, guys. It is a perspective.
It was just the black eyes, maybe.
Oh, I get what she's saying because she was down below like the Santa Claus is.
For people who can't see.
Yeah.
This is a giant cat. The perspective is looking up at a cat, so it looks massive, looking down at a candy house and Santa Claus. Basically, something giant with black eyes looking down, and you just feel probably
powerless.
Helpless dread.
Yeah.
Is the feeling.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting way to look at it.
That cat does look pretty soulless, and we do know cats are evil by nature, so.
I think it's just the angle.
It does have that, does look like it's going to destroy that little Santa Claus figurine with malice.
Yeah, fascinating story. Again, the exterior aspect of the account, I think, is pretty unique.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it could just be a situational specter sort of thing where the disembodied spirit happens to be wearing a hat and happens to have an evil countenance.
Not necessarily a Hat Man.
Maybe not in the way that we would classically think about that. Interesting. Thank you for sharing, Belle.
Yeah, thank you for that. Great story. A lot of great stories today.
Yeah.
This next story has been a long time coming. This comes from a good friend of the show, co-host of his own fantastic, one of my favorite podcasts, the Freaky Deaky podcast.
Yeah.
I'll just say this is a super bizarre account and one of my favorites that we've received because of its uniqueness. So without further ado, let's just play it. This is called The Pillowcase Man. and this took place in California City, California. And this was given to us by the great Scott Walker of the Freaky Deaky Podcast.
Gentlemen, first and foremost, I am so sorry that this has taken what feels like actual years to send to you. There's no excuse, but as I'm sure you can relate, life is constant chaos and busy all the time, nonstop, and I have a toddler that is, well, he never stops talking and or moving and or yelling at me. So that is the trifecta of why it takes forever for me to do anything that I put my mind to. And Christian and I were recording today, and we're like, you know what? We only have one episode to record, so instead of me just packing it all up after that, I sent Christian out of the room, and I was like, I'm going to tell these stories, I'm going to get it exported, I'm getting it over to the boys of the hole. And that's where we're at right now. So I have a hard time remembering how old I was at this point because it's been so many years. I always think like the majority of my experiences happened between probably, you know, 10 and 18 when I was living out with my parents. But this one in particular was super creepy because I woke up one night to the sound of someone saying, "Help me.
Help me."
So I kind of sat up in bed and I looked, and my cat was on my bed with me. And I kind of looked around the room. It was dark, but the moon was out, so the moonlight shining through my bedroom window illuminated my room enough for me to see pretty much everything in the room, you know? And so I'm looking around, and I don't see a single thing in there. Nothing's out of place. I'm like, huh, that's weird. So I lay back down, and I hear it again. I hear someone say, "Help me.
Help me."
And I look, and my cat is reacting to this as well, because every time I hear it, she starts looking around, too. The direction where it came from, not entirely sure. So I sit back up, I look around again, I'm like, okay, this is really weird. What is happening? Once again, nothing to be seen. There's nobody around asking for help. No one's bleeding out on the floor. It's just me and my cat in my bedroom sometime between probably 2 and 4 a.m., right? So I'm like, all right, sit back down, or lay back down, I should say. And this time, it's a little bit louder.
Help me!
So I hear it 3 times, and I'm like, okay, there's definitely something here. But I'm not going to be the guy that gets off the bed and starts opening closet doors or whatever looking for this thing. This time when I hear it, as I'm sitting up and I'm looking around, my cat's looking around, I look down at my pillow and it's moving. And I'm like, okay, this is strange. It's moving in like just a weird kind of like slithery pattern, I guess. It, like almost like it's just like ripples or something like that are going over it. Like something is inside my pillowcase and it is just moving about in there, you know, something you don't want to see when you're a young teenager or whatever, and it's the middle of the night. So I get off my bed. I get off, I mean, I jump off like a scared small boy, and I look at it, and I'm staring at it. My cat is, she hasn't gotten off the bed, but she's staring at the pillow that's also moving. So I'm like acknowledging her, acknowledging the pillow. I'm like, you know what? We're both seeing the same thing. And so I slowly grabbed the end flap of the pillowcase and I lift it up. And when I lift it up, there is what I can only describe as a torso. A torso with no legs and no arms attached. And it appears to be in some kind of Civil War attire. I'm not really a war buff, I couldn't tell you. Some kind of old school military uniform. So I see this thing and it's like kind of like writhing around in the pillowcase. I'm like, oh, great. And so as I'm thinking that, at the end of the pillowcase, so the furthest away from me, a head slowly starts to raise up of a man who is severely battered, as you could probably guess, because he has no arms or legs. And him and I lock eyes with each other, and he screams at the top of his lungs, "Help me!
Help me!"
As soon as he said that, I literally grab the pillow, nary a care for this man, and throw it on the floor. Then I hop back in bed, once again, scared child. My cat and I are both staring at this pillowcase that's writhing around on the floor now. And it didn't stop. But the only thing that was in my head, I was like, I can go back to sleep because, number one, it's on the floor. Number two, he does not have arms and legs. What, is he going to bite his way up this bed? I don't think so. For whatever reason, my mind, tired and whatever it was 3 a.m., I'm like, I'm just going to go back to sleep. It'll be fine, right? Yeah, I woke up in the morning. Pillow was on the floor, exactly where I had thrown it earlier. And I have no explanation for that. This was in California City, California. I don't think there's any known wars that took place in the high deserts of California. But if there are, then maybe that explains a little bit. But one thing for me was the indicator, whenever I have an animal that also sees these things, as I'm witnessing it, I'm like, okay, this must be something then. It's not just me having like hypnopompic hallucinations or something like that, which I have had before. But the fact that my cat is also acknowledging this happening is why it always kind of stuck with me. I have absolutely no explanation for it. Maybe you guys are the masters of research yourselves over there, so maybe you guys can think of something between the three of you. Anyway, I'm sorry this is such a long story, but that is, to my recollection, exactly what happened from beginning to end. And, yeah.
Freaky.
Freaky deaky.
Yeah. Oh, good one.
Thank you, Scott. Man, what a weird...
Yeah, I don't know how to classify that one.
No.
Yeah.
It goes in the torso box.
The war torso man.
Yes.
Definitely strange.
Yeah, and considering what he was saying there, the call for help, yeah. Definitely pretty tragic. And we're laughing about it because the scenario is kind of humorous, but the visual.
Right.
But, you know, you consider that phrase that he's crying out. That's definitely, that's heavy.
Yeah, I'm hoping that it is some sort of echo manifestation and not actually someone suffering.
Like Stone Tape?
Yeah, from a long lost war in California.
Yeah.
Which would be super sad to be stuck there.
The outside idea that popped into my head, which is more sci-fi, is like a time slip.
Always go for the furthest.
Like a time slip, like stuck through material sort of thing. Like a transporter beam putting someone into a wall.
Uh-huh.
You know, or the X-Files episode with Area 51.
Oh, the one where Mulder gets switched with that agent?
Yeah, it's a guy who works at Area 51, I think. Morris Fletcher.
Oh, yeah. Man, what an episode. And they Freaky Friday into each other's bodies. Who's the actor that played him?
Michael McKean.
Oh, really?
Yeah, great. He does all those mockumentaries. Spinal Tap. Anyway, great, great. I think it's a two-parter. Definitely one of my favorites of the series. But anyway, yeah, reminds me of that idea.
I could see that.
Kind of reminds me of some of the hand stories that just appear out of nowhere. It's like,
yeah. Disembodied.
What is that? Like, yeah. Where did that come from?
To help me. I mean, yeah. So obviously the most, I think, common explanation would be that it's someone who was killed and for some reason is manifesting in his pillow. It's so bizarre. And it was dying, and those are the words of the help me, or he's stuck in some limbo. But I think the transmutation of his form being stuck within the pillow.
You think it was like, what was the experiment with
I don't think it was. I just think it's a more fun thing to consider.
I don't know if that's fun. It sounds pretty terrifying and painful.
Well, not for him. You're right. I just mean interesting.
What was the experiment we covered? The real Stranger Things episode we did.
MK Ultra.
Montauk
Project.
But what did that reference?
Which was the Philadelphia Experiment.
Philadelphia Experiment. Sounds like that, you're saying.
We had people kind of being transported into hard materials like metal I-beams and things like that.
Humans fused with matter.
Yeah.
Yeah. To me, this sounds more like an apparition manifesting in a way that maybe Scott was somehow able to focus or unconsciously focusing it. And maybe because the pillow was moving, he was looking at the pillow. And so the torso is what would fit in that as a human, like as far as manifesting that shape. And then the head comes along after that.
Right.
To speak, help me.
Again, if it's not a sleep, awaking dream sort of situation, which I do like the point that the cat seemed to see what was going on too. That definitely makes it more of a credible account. But
that's always a source of, Yes, John?
Because you're going to say, like, the cat is a source of legitimacy. It just sounded funny.
The cat is always a source of powerful energy, the cat.
I take back my all cats are evil comment. I felt bad because then immediately we had a cat story from from Scott.
Oh, yeah. There was his friend in this. And Scott has another story we're going to play another time. He's got apparently several. That one also includes a cat. So,
oh, yeah, go check out Freaky Deaky. Hilarious show, great show, good spooky stories.
Yeah. One of my favorite podcasts, and it's great for the humor.
Yeah.
It's kind of a unique thing in our category that they do really well. So check out Scott and Christian over at the Freaky Deaky Podcast, link in the show notes. Do not miss it.
Yes!
Nice.
What is the $8,999?
Oh, yeah, that's... So I was trying to find some corroboration for this story and find any kind of hint at where this thing might have manifested from this torso in this old wartime kind of outfit.
Yeah.
And so I was looking at the history of California City, and this is a weird, bizarre place where Scott spent some of his time growing up. From what I read about it, it was this weird experiment of planned development. It's actually the third largest city in California, size-wise.
Really?
Like land-wise, but it only has 13,000 people to
That's
this day.
That's crazy.
It's like the mega Los Angeles. And the reason for that is because it was this planned city. They're going to bring the water in. They built this really cool lake. The lake is still there, man-made. I think the mayor flew around in a plane and dumped a bucket of water It's like, the
like a ceremonial
inaugural ceremony. But it didn't seem to work out. And so it didn't become this grand city. But that number, John, you mentioned was in the notes. That number is how much it would cost to buy one of these development plots. If you look at it now, and I'll put an image in the show notes and on YouTube, in California City, there's still these, it looks like the Nazca lines. They're these cut roadways in the desert, suburban.
Like cul-de-sacs.
Like cul-de-sacs and allotments with no houses built on them, at least from the pictures I saw. But you can buy them for like, yeah, $8,000. You can spend a dollar down payment. There's like a website like dollardown.com or something where you can get this property.
So you can still buy lots there?
Yeah, but it reeks of high strangeness, just this, I think the setting of that.
Oh, the liminal space.
And then Chris, you had an interesting idea about the trying to find corroboration of, you know, where this figure, this torso, if there was a spirit that infested this vision, where it might have come from.
Oh, right. Well, just occurred to me by the description. When you mentioned the outfit of the Civil War, I thought maybe it could have been a cavalry member, because those were after the Civil War, they would go on to, you know, fight Indian conflicts and things like that. And they could have been up in California.
And yeah, so I was looking deeper into the area and, of course, found no records of battles or skirmishes, as Scott said, that probably it's unlikely to be any battles from any war going on in the high desert of the Mojave, where California City currently sits. However, now this is a little out there, maybe a bit of a stretch, but
it's what you're known for.
Thanks. Only a few hours away in what is now Clark County, there was a battle, a skirmish, if you will. As you said, Chris, the cavalry.
Mm-hmm.
After the Civil War, there was the Battle of Beaver Lake, I think it was called. And Beaver Lake was an area that's now Clark County, Nevada, which is 3 hours from there. And it's currently Las Vegas. This area has now become, if you look at it on the map, it's kind of like a depression in the earth that's been turned into either farmland or just remains desert. But there was a battle there, the Battle of Beaver Lake, and it was the opening engagement of the Mojave War.
Mojave War?
Yeah, this was when the camp of Lieutenant Colonel William Hoffman, with only 50 soldiers of the 6th Cavalry, on the first Mojave expedition, was surrounded and attacked by something like 300 Mojave Indians.
Oh, okay.
And there's not a lot of information about if there were any survivors. I mean, it was 50 to 300. But you could imagine, and this may be a crazy idea of the manifestation of the spirit, but potentially, if you consider the idea that there were no closer battles or skirmishes, and again, history buffs out there, double check that maybe there were in the Mojave. But what if one of those men involved in this battle had been, say, held hostage, dragged across the desert,
a prisoner of war,
towards California City, or where California City now sits? And what if he died somewhere in between? And California City was the closest place he could manifest, in this case, a pillowcase, where people might hear his cries for help. Or maybe Scott is a sensitive, and somehow he drew this limbless ghost.
What, 3 hours away by car?
Well, we don't know where he ended up. If this figure even existed, passed away in the desert or whatever happened, maybe he somehow summoned him from across the desert sands of the Mojave to manifest in his pillow. I don't know. I can't say what happened, Scott.
There's a lot of speculation.
Regardless, it's a fascinating story.
I like the more sci-fi idea.
Of course you do, Chris. It's always sci-fi with you.
Okay.
But yeah, strange place. California City. If you want a piece of the residential land, it's a dollar down payment, $8,999 to walk away with one of these pieces of the cul-de-sac for yourself.
It's a fair deal.
If you got a trailer, I would like to build there.
Looks pretty dry. I wonder if that's the reason.
Anyway, strange things happen in the high desert.
Yeah.
Especially in the Mojave, as we've covered in the past. Anyway.
All right, let's wander on through the house.
Let's do the bunny man next.
Oh, the bunny man.
This is a creepy one.
This is very creepy. Okay, this next story. This comes from Jason Simbro in Centralia, Missouri. He titled this, Good Little Boys Go Back to Sleep.
Very creepy.
It's very creepy, and some will hear it and think that it points to something very disturbing and very human about even potentially child abuse. And that's what when he wrote in, he said that, you know, a lot of people might think that, but there are attributes to the story that I feel like there's something stranger and some of the physics of it.
Well, that was his impression too, that there wasn't this sort of abuse going on that your mind might go to initially.
Yeah. Cause initially on the outset, it would sound like that, but there are other strange attributes to it that point in something much more paranormal and inhuman. So let's play this up, John, the bunny man.
When I was a young child, about the age of 6, an event occurred in my life that shook me to the core. For years, I told no one what happened to me that night. I held the secret for 25 years of my life before telling anyone. I thought I had imagined it, that it didn't happen. It just so happened that I was in Colorado Springs visiting my children, and my brother was attending training nearby, so I decided to visit him. At dinner, my wife and I were talking with my brother about various things, and we started to talk about childhood events. I decided this was the time to unload it off my chest. I started to tell my tale to my wife and my brother. Now, this may seem out of order to you, but please bear with me. Here's the account of that night. My family lived in a small 3-bedroom home in a small Missouri town named Centralia. In our house, there was a closet that was between my mom and my little sister's room. The closet was connected by a long board that was only about 1/4 inch thick, which ran across the top of the closet and into a crawl space in my sister's room. Although the shelf was mainly empty, my family did store a few things on it in the far left corner. Among those items was a 6-foot-tall blue Easter Bunny costume. My father had removed the stuffing from a 6-foot stuffed Easter Bunny to make the bunny suit for a past Halloween party. My brother and I both suffered from night terrors as children, and as a result of the night terrors, we both saw a lot of things that were never there. One night, we were both in bed, talking like always, and had the closet door open. I suddenly had the feeling that something was watching me. I looked over and saw a man was crawling across the shelf of my closet in the bunny suit. He didn't make a sound or say a word. Instead, he crawled in front of the closet door, turned his head towards us, and made the sign with his finger to his mouth and crawled in my little sister's room. I was terrified, but could not move or scream. I laid there and did nothing and said nothing for the whole night. This thing that crawled across the closet had our father's face, but it had soulless eyes. Not black eyes exactly, but like a dark void, if that makes sense. Many years afterwards, I tried to convince myself that it was just a night terror. However, after telling the story to my wife and my brother's face went white. My brother is an Apache pilot in the Army. It takes a lot to unnerve him. He looked at me with a stone face and said to me, "I thought that was just a dream." We haven't talked about it since.
Creepy.
Yeah. Disturbing. I do understand why, you know, if he hadn't said that, people might think along those lines.
Especially crawling into my sister's room, you know, that's where your mind would go. Like,
yeah.
Where's this adult in a bunny suit and shushing you? Like
some kind of a mimic or something.
Like, exactly. I mean, that with the soulless, vacant eyes, the face of your father, but the specific attributes, and I followed up with him and asked him some specific questions about, did you think this was a human adult, like a real person, or was it something else? And his argument was he had tried to climb as a kid on that shelf. It's only 1/4 inch thick and it's held up by tiny little angle brackets, you know, so it can't take much weight. And when he tried to climb up on it as a kid, it fell down. So the fact that this, what looked like a human sized person manifesting in this bunny suit was crawling across that shelf, it should have, there's no way it would have held that up if it was a real person
right
in there. So that was one of his points about why it was so uncanny and unsettling on top of the soulless eyes.
Also, I'm just going to throw in their closets. It's coming out of the closet. Obviously, yeah, that's where the suit was, but also the closets.
Closets.
We talk about that so much, about the architecture of closets, the things that seem to come out of closets for whatever reason. Yeah.
Did you say anything about his sister?
Yeah, he said she has no recollection or memory of anything happening to her in that room, so.
That would be creepy to hear that as a sister, like it crawled into your room. Like,
yeah, both brothers remember that?
Yeah.
Terrifying, yeah. Did he ever say the only experience he had there?
He said that the house had always had weird vibes. Oh, apparently, this is so freaking weird. Synchronistically, especially with the book we're doing in the expansion, he said, another time my brother started screaming bloody murder because he saw what he said were 2 red eyes out the window.
After we moved, our parents got divorced and no more freaky stuff happened.
By the way, this is another theme throughout this episode is sometimes there's a malevolent force that seems to be following maybe one of the parents.
Mm-hmm.
When the parent leaves, that stuff goes away. There's a story that we'll tell later where they believe a negative energy follows negative people in a sense.
Yeah.
People that are disturbed. But what is so bizarre is in the expansion, we're going to be doing kind of interesting stories from this magic book that we did in the last expansion, just because it was so fun, such interesting stories. But the first one I turned to, I was thinking about this story of the Bunny Man and this anecdote about seeing these red eyes. And of course, I'm thinking like Amityville.
Right. That's what I was thinking of. The pig,
eyes, yeah. You know, when they found the cloven hooves. And I pop open the book to find a story for the episode last night for the expansion. The first one I come to, and I'll just read this quote.
A few nights later, Kathleen was in the sitting room with George when she looked up and saw two glowing red eyes at the darkened window. She and George hurried outside and found strange tracks in the snow. Kathleen told Anson, quote, the prints had been left by cloven hooves, like those of an enormous pig.
Ugh. Yeah. Although, you know, large cloven hooves, they said like a large pig or a giant pig. Couldn't that be a deer? As far as like large cloven hoof prints in the snow. And snow, you know, when you step in it, and there, if there's time, that'll get bigger.
I don't know how you confuse deer prints for pig prints, but maybe I'm not a pig foot expert.
I'm not either.
But if they saw...
Red glowing eyes,
and a visage of a pig, I think that the pig had made an appearance earlier, perhaps?
Yeah, it was the imaginary friend, quote-unquote, of the daughter, I believe.
Right.
We should probably do an episode on that. We haven't, because it's a, you know, controversial. People love that story or hate that story.
But regardless, the synchronicity is bizarre, and it points to the magic of this book.
Weird.
But yeah, I was thinking about specifically Amityville, and I just popped to a page that had that, so.
As you were thinking about the Bunny Man story with the red eyes, bizarre.
Just a weird synchronistic connection. That's why this book is magic, guys. If you're not an expansion
member.
Yeah,
it's not about magic, by the way. It is
magic.
Yeah. A lot of unexplained stories that lead synchronistically to each other when you pull it out of the drawer and open it up.
Yeah. But that's for the expansion for later. So.
Cool. On that note, well, I guess we know what's coming up in the expansion. We're about to take a break. Before we do, just want to let you know, if you want to sign up to be a member, you get double the episodes. Go to our website, click on the big red expansion button. Double the episodes to become an expansion member.
Yeah, and we have a gigantic archive at this point. So we get all the back episodes plus the first season, which is
archive. Yeah.
It's like 30 episodes. So there's quite a bit to explore.
Instant access when you guys sign up.
Cool.
No,
do it.
We send you a copy in the mail.
You have to listen to one at a time. Prove that you finish each one.
Cassette tape. All right. Well, here is a quick clip from the expansion.
Access granted.
The Sunday People, which is a publication, May 15th, 1977, reported the story of invisible assailants, phantom persecutors, and demonic doings surrounding the tormented nun, identified only as Sister Rosa. In her presence, objects in the room rise up and fly around her. At other times, it is she herself who is levitated. This, it is claimed, happened at least once, witnessed by her terrified sisters, who saw her float slowly toward the ceiling and then pass through it. The auxiliary bishop of Rome said, quote, it's amazing, but true. The sisters are highly educated and not the sort to imagine things. They told me about Sister Rosa floating through the ceiling. They found her standing on the floor above. That's weird. Once, on hearing screams from Sister Rosa's cell, they rushed in to find her tearing at her cowl. When they removed it, they found thorns from a cactus plant in their garden firmly embedded in her scalp. They resisted all attempts to remove them until they were washed with holy water, we are told. An iron bar from the back of the door detached itself and traveled through walls to materialize in Sister Rosa's cell and began beating her while she slept.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Pro savings days are back at Lowe's. My Lowe's Pro Rewards members save even more with limited-time doorbuster deals. Save $5 on 24-count Contractor's Choice 42-gallon trash bags, now just $14.78. Plus, get your choice select DeWalt Elite Series saw blades for $9.98. Not a Pro Rewards member? Join for free today at Lowe's. Valid through 9/17. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Hello, and welcome to The Belief Hole, Part 2.
Thanks, Little John. Welcome back from the break.
Let's move along to our next story.
Let's scurry down the hall to our next tale. This one is weird, and of course, we say that a lot, but this comes from Jen, and you can hear this and make your own decision about how much was this in a lucid state, how much was this real or in a dream. I'll let her tell her tale. But I think it's fascinating and disturbing all at the same time. This leans into some of the experiences we've all had with familial imposters.
Oh, yes.
Family member entities that are not really our family. I call this the mother monster midnight appointment.
Okay, so I was listening to a really old episode of your guys's, and you were talking about melatonin dreams. And I thought of this one time. I don't know if I was taking melatonin or not, but I am sort of a lucid dreamer, and I can do some pretty weird shit in my dreams. I heard that you can't like look at your hands because then they turn into claws, and I definitely did that, and it definitely happened, but who knows if I planted that seed. Anyway, I digress. So there was one morning where I had dreamed that I was getting up and going through my normal daily routine. And I didn't think it was that weird that my dog didn't follow me, but I was like, where is Archer? So I was looking around, and then I come back through my kitchen and I see my mother standing in my bathroom, which is super random. I'm like, what are you doing here? And she just looks at me, and I was like, okay, I'm dreaming and this is going to go bad. I know it's going to go bad. So then I probe a little bit more. I kind of continue along my way. It's a dream. So I was like kind of out of it. And I'm like, do you want any coffee? And she's sort of looking at me. But then she's also looking into my bedroom and staring at me, which is way creepier later because she was staring at my sleeping body. And I'm doing my morning routine and I'm still like, what is mom doing? And then I'm like, I actually physically tried to pinch myself because I felt like this was a nightmare just waiting to happen. So more and more time goes by, and then I start asking questions. And I'm like, well, why are you over here? Because my mom lives an hour and a half away, so she shouldn't have been in my house first thing in the morning when it's still dark. And she says, well, I have a doctor's appointment at midnight. And I said, Mom, humans don't have doctor's appointments at midnight. And I sort of just walked to my front door and opened it and kind of signaled that she needed to get the fuck out. And I was like, you're not welcome here. And she said, I was just going to come in here and pull your eyes out. And she said it so straight faced. And I ended up screaming at her down the hallway as she was kind of walking backwards, slowly watching me. And my neighbor who was passing by, which was weird that I saw my neighbor while I was half asleep or whatever. And I screamed at her, just screamed at her to get down the fucking hallway. And she did eventually. But I woke up and I was like, I don't think I was dreaming. I think my subconscious was up and there was some creepy ass entity chilling in my house, which usually I they're not negative like that, but I needed it to get out. But anyway, that was probably way too long of a story, but I thought I would send it anyway. Thank you for everything you do. Get me all creeped out all the time. Okay.
Sounds like you do that yourself.
Yeah, thanks for turning the favor, Jen. That was a creepy-ass story. The creepiest part to me was that part where she's seeing her mom, which to me almost seems like in an astral projection state where it's almost
something
like,
posing to be her mom.
Well, her herself being not dreaming this, but being projecting out because her mom is not looking at her. She's looking at her sleeping body in the other room down the hallway while she's talking to her mom from the kitchen or whatever.
Yeah.
That's eerie. So when she's saying, I came to pull your eyeballs out, she's staring at her sleeping body over there.
Yeah, that's a weird, creepy detail.
Yuck.
Thank you for sharing that
story. Yeah,
very
creepy.
Yeah, really, really.
I don't like anything that pretends to be a relative.
Especially a mama, you know, supposed to take care of you, not pull your eyes out.
Yeah.
I remember a dream I had about Dad a long time ago.
Oh, really?
I don't even remember what it was. I just remember he was like a mimic thing. And Dad is the kindest man that has ever lived, pretty much. And so when he is
evil,
the opposite, it is terrifying.
Yeah.
Because he's so nice.
I remember talking about this dream.
Yeah, like he doesn't do well as a bad man. I mean, he does well as a bad man just because he's so opposite.
Yeah. It's like an evil Santa Claus. Like something's just wrong there.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's why
way scarier.
Yeah, that's why
Santa's not real.
Some of the stories we get about these experiences are grandmothers, because typically a grandmother's like the sweetest, you know, not everybody's grandma, but it's the stereotype of a grandma is very sweet and kindly. So you get, you know, the worst perversion of that is to take someone sweet like that, like Dad, and then make it the evilest thing.
Yeah.
Stay out of Dad mimicry. Evil.
Hasn't happened in a long time, but it did once.
I wonder what appointment she was going to. Midnight.
Oh, yeah. That was a creepy... Yeah, a midnight appointment.
A demon doctor.
That's so weird.
Paging Dr. Demon.
Yeah, it did sound like a more of a astral projection than a dream. Just
because it was also like the timing of this quote-unquote dreamscape was like the same as when she was sleeping, it seemed like.
Yeah.
So she was just viewing. As a avid lucid dreamer, you know, you hear the argument all the time that you're more astral projecting than actually dreaming.
Right.
All right, let's move along down the hallway, up the stairs, and over to...
the fifth bedroom of the night.
Yay.
This next story comes from Ken.
Ken.
A listener of the show.
Ken.
Ken's a friend.
Ken is a friend.
And this occurred in Dallas, Texas, September 10th, 2010.
Ken is a friend on September 2010.
Yes. Good rhyme, John.
I'm good at rhymes.
I didn't have a great name for this because it's three kind of specific encounters, all encapsulated by, as I mentioned earlier, the concept of evil forces following negativity and maybe attached to a certain person. So it's tentatively called Sister Mimic, Shadow Man, Bathroom Whispers. Okay, Chris, Jeremy, John, and listeners, come on in for a good eerie read. This happened when I was about 9 to 10 at my childhood home. It was the day I learned that negative people get fed on by negative, even evil, things. So my mom and dad were in the midst of a divorce. Dad wasn't as holy as he made himself appear. Cheating, lying, and other horrible slew of things that I hate to mention here. Anyways, we as kids didn't really know what was happening at the time. The following events were on different days, not too far apart from one another. Encounter 1. I was just coming home from playing with some kids on the street. It was sunset, yet it was early enough that it wasn't dark yet. As my mom opened the door, over her shoulder, I saw what I could best describe as a 3D shadow figure of a man step out from the hallway bathroom and walk into my room. It wasn't like a shadow on the wall, like Peter Pan's shadow. It was like a person that was made out of shadow, opacity brought to about 30%. Walking straight into my room. I asked my mom if anyone else was home. She said no. I began to search the closet and under the bed to confirm this. There wasn't a soul. I slept with the lights on that night. Encounter 2. I woke up around 2 a.m. At that time, I slept with the door open and the nightlight on. My bed was facing the door, and the door led to a dark hallway. Looking back, this was super scary, thinking of it now as an adult. Right there, in the threshold of the door, was my sister, dressed in her pajamas. She was just staring at me. I thought she was being annoying, so I asked her, "What?" in a cranky brother tone. She pointed towards my brother's bed,
on the other side of the room. At this time, he was away at a sleepover. Then she said, quote,
"Twin brother."
Then I did that movie scene thing, where you turn your head to see what they were pointing at, and then you turn back. Gone. She was gone. Not even a noise walking back to her room. Agitated, I got up and went to her room in the dark. As I opened her door, I saw she was heavily asleep. No evidence of her waking up. The blankets were snug on her. At this point, I figured I was probably just half asleep and called it that. That night, I slept with the room lights on and the door shut tightly. Encounter 3. I was on my mom's bed as I was playing my Nintendo DS. It was nighttime, only me and Mario Kart. The volume was all the way up. I started to hear rustling in my mom's bathroom. The door was cracked open, so I turned off the DS and stared at the bathroom door for a bit, thinking it was a rat. Then I heard an eerie human whisper. The best way I can describe it is that it sounds like Parseltongue from Harry Potter, the language Harry made when speaking to snakes. I ran out of the room with a racing heartbeat. Never have I ever gone back at night alone in that room. After my dad left, the energy went as well. There have been no more sightings, no more sounds. I asked my other family members if they've seen things or heard noises. Only my little sister has. I'll have to share that story another time. Something about a shadow baby climbing up her bed. After all this, I've concluded, evil does follow negative energy. As any fanboy would say, love you guys and what you're bringing to the community. It's awesome to have this cool outlet to tell tales that really happened. I always regret listening to these podcasts at night, but the curiosity is too willing.
Well, I like that.
Curiosity is too willing.
I like that ending.
Yeah.
It was a great story.
That was a great story. Starve your ghouls, man. Again, sounds like one of those negative magnet attracting stories where you have negative experiences and negative people.
Yeah. Sounds like his dad may have been manifesting some of that in the house, potentially.
Yeah.
He's gone and then that goes.
Yeah.
Sorry to hear about having to deal with that stuff. I mean, yeah. You got the typical shadow man mimic, sister mimic. All these stories have these threads that apparently the home is often having.
Mm-hmm.
Is the
cohabitating.
Shadow men, cohabitating with shadow men, mimics. I guess these are all kind of like personal things that you experience in your personal place.
Yeah.
Specifically creepy with the, not only entities you don't understand or don't know, like the shadow man or that death angel or whatever was pulling that other being out and through the ceiling, but the mimics, I think, as we talked about, imposter entities, extremely creepy because they are something so close to you and trying to pretend, wear the skin of a family member is just disturbing, if that's what that was.
Skin it to win it.
Got to skin it to win it. Yes, John.
That's what they say. That's their motto.
New t-shirt, skin it to win it. It's just like a floppy man suit made of man skin.
People might think we're serial killers.
That's true. Well, man suit with like clothes on.
Why are you wearing that silly man suit?
Nice.
Name the movie in the comments below.
Who's that? You get Frank?
Yeah. Donnie Darko. We named it.
No. Someone was just starting to type that too. We were almost interactive.
Should we do another Golden Girls song?
Oh, yeah.
That we still get messages about
like
a year ago.
It's Golden Girls comment pops up from, 2 years ago.
Stiletto is also a knife, not just a heel. Remember that one?
Yes. We learn new things every day because of our ignorance.
If you know something that we don't know that we don't mention on the show and we use a word wrong, just bet that someone else has already let us know about
Especially if it's like 2 years old.
Yes.
Yeah, feel free to comment, though. It helps the algorithm.
We've been informed.
It hurts our heart, though.
You're wrong forever. Anyway, yeah, we love you.
That's the one thing about having a show.
You'll always be wrong because you said it one time.
One thing that is the history never leaves, and people love to make you aware of how bad you suck from 4 years ago.
That's very true.
They expect you to be great out of the womb at podcasting.
Right. You
know. Early on, we were still trying to figure out how to do it.
And that's why most of that's archived. But check it out because it's entertaining.
And thank you all who are here and are nice and love us. And we love you too. And if you're on YouTube right now, this is a good time to hit the like button.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hit that like button.
It really does help us grow, guys.
Humble the like button.
Humble the like button. Did you make that up?
No.
Did you hear it somewhere?
Yep.
That's good, though.
Also, if you if you're wondering why you don't get notifications about premieres and other things coming down the pipe from us on YouTube,
Make sure you hit the little notification bell and click subscribe. I think there's like 10% of people that have done both of that.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So I think a lot of people just don't know.
I don't really use the notification bell either.
Yeah. Then you won't get updates on live streams or premieres. So make sure you hit both of those if you want to be informed.
We are a good show to do that too, just because we post so infrequently.
Yeah.
We're not going to be blowing you up with notifications.
Exactly. Yeah. Every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You will find
us. We are a treat.
A little treat.
Undeniable treat.
Pavlovian tasty snack.
All right, let's move along.
Yes. Thank you, Ken. Starve your ghouls. Next on our creepy agenda today is... Yeah, we did a story of what you see looking back up at your until now unknown haunted home with a man in the window. But this story is the inverse, where you are in the safety of your bedroom, and yet something is outside the window looking in. This is called Window Demon and the Screams. And this comes to us from Gary, sometime in 1998, in his childhood home in Gilmer, Texas. This happened sometime in 1998, the second semester of my junior year in high school, so probably late winter or early spring. We were a family of six living in a three-bedroom mobile home. My parents had the master bedroom at one end of the trailer. My older brother had his own room, located in the middle of the house, off the hallway, and of course, myself and my two younger brothers were told,
"Suck it! Y'all gotta share a damn room!"
Our room was located at the far opposite end of the house from my parents. Anyway, it was bedtime on a school night, so it was lights out. It was a strict household, and I was lying in bed, waiting for my parents to fall asleep so I could turn the TV on and hopefully watch Conan O'Brien. As I was laying there, I eventually needed to pee, but as I was getting up out of bed to head to the bathroom, I suddenly had the overwhelming and crushing feeling that there was someone or something just outside the bedroom window. The blind was closed, and I couldn't see outside, but I couldn't shake the terrifying sensation I was being watched intensely by whatever was out there. I got up and rushed to the bathroom as fast as I possibly could. As soon as I closed the bathroom door, blood began pouring from my nose. I never really had any nosebleeds until then, so the panic I was already feeling suddenly intensified. I stood in front of the mirror, holding a wad of toilet paper over my nose, desperately trying to stop the bleeding, when suddenly I heard a loud buzzing and crackling sound, like a charge of electricity. It lasted for only a couple seconds and ended with a loud and sudden pop. I liken it to a firecracker or a shot from a small caliber handgun. My parents rushed through the house, yelling,
"What the hell is going on? Y'all go to sleep!"
I thought they heard the noise I did, but my mom said,
"What's all that damn screaming about? We're trying to sleep!"
I came out of the bathroom and told them I was just in the bathroom dealing with a nosebleed and nobody was screaming. Of course, they didn't believe me. They scolded me and told me to go to bed. And even though my brothers were somehow fast asleep, my parents scolded them too, thinking they were just pretending to go to sleep. They promptly went back to their room and slammed the door behind them. Once I cleaned the blood off myself and peed, I laid back down, terrified and highly confused as to what had just happened. I actually fell asleep almost immediately, which was weird for me at the time. I have no idea what happened that night. What screaming did my parents hear? How did my brother sleep through all the chaos? Why was I convinced someone was watching me through the window just before my nose started gushing blood? Either way, I'm not sure I ever really want to know.
That is bizarre. That is a bizarre conflagration of weirdness.
Do you remember the window knocker we did?
Vaguely.
Remember that, John?
Mm-hmm.
That guy drew that really creepy sketch of that humanoid alien kind of head outside the window.
Oh, yeah.
It's knocking at the window. And we did a whole episode on the knockers, like three knocks,
mm-hmm.
always on the window or the front door.
Yeah. And your point?
It just reminds me of this.
There weren't any knocks, though.
Wasn't it knocking at the door?
No, it was just the sensation that someone was staring at him, suddenly staring at him through the window. He just felt this.
But it could have knocked.
Sure. Overwhelming terror. And then his nose starts gushing blood.
You're right. It was something outside the window he sensed.
Yeah.
So that, in that story, the window knocker, before the knock, the person sensed it was outside or something. I don't know. And then it tapped at him. Something like that. But there, yeah, something watching outside.
I just think it's weird that it had that effect on him. It was almost like a psychic incident, you know, and then these screams from nowhere that only he heard.
Yeah, the buzzing and the crackle.
I'm sorry, his parents heard it, but his brothers were asleep. So there was screaming going on in the house. Noses bleeding everywhere. Anyway, but very bizarre.
Yeah. Why did his parents hear that?
That's a good question.
Was there something waking them up on purpose?
I don't know. Maybe it was just an echo, psychic echo.
Strange.
Thank you for sharing that. Definitely an unusual account.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
Very unique. You are not safe at home. I think that's the lesson we're learning here. That takes us neatly to our final tale of the night.
This one's awesome.
This I call White-Faced Kid. And it comes from Elisa from Temecula.
Sounds like it's another, like a moon on another planet.
Temecula.
Temecula One.
From Scott Bakula, California.
Yes.
2011.
We moved into this house around 2011, still here. At the time my son was about two, the living room was set up so that while facing the TV, I could also see the door to my son's room from the couch. Since both my kids were under seven at the time, they had early bedtimes. I used this time to kick back and watch Ghost Hunters and whatever other shows I couldn't watch while the kids were awake. I started noticing from my periphery what appeared to be my son peeking around his doorframe from his room. When you enter his room, his closet was immediately to the right of the door. We had just transitioned him to his toddler bed, so he would constantly get out of bed. I had a video monitor, so I'd look at the monitor instead of looking toward the door to see if he was out of bed. And in the monitor, I could see he was still sleeping in his bed. So I then looked to the doorframe, and there would be nothing. I could see his whole room, minus the closet, which was closed at the time, and there was nothing there. Over the course of several months, this would happen almost every night of the week while I was home alone with my children, as my husband worked night shifts. At the time, this house was fairly new, maybe 5 years old. I knew nobody had died here. It's entirely possible there was something on the land, but I don't know. I just didn't get the vibe that it was a ghost or something. It was about the size of my then 2-year-old son. I just got a curious vibe, but it was disconcerting that it was in my son's room. Since I was watching Ghost Hunters and shows like that, I figured maybe it's just my eyes playing tricks on me, a trick of the light somehow, or something. Didn't say anything to my husband, just kind of ignored it, figuring if I don't give it attention, it will go away. I could never look directly at it. I'd only see it from my periphery. At some point, I had a little conversation with my son when he was around 3 to 4. I can't remember how the conversation started, but at some point my son says to me,
"You mean that little boy in my closet who talks to me?"
My heart almost fell out of my butthole. I swear. Like, how? What? I asked him what he meant. He just repeated the little boy in the closet who talks to me. I asked what he looks like, and he just said he didn't know and moved on to something else. I didn't want to press him on it and run the risk he was making something up. I still never said anything to my husband. I just always check his closet before putting him to bed. Eventually, I stopped watching Ghost Hunters at night, thinking maybe it was just my mind getting away with itself. I did still see it off and on for maybe a week or so, until eventually it stopped. Years later, my brother was visiting from out of state, and we're all sitting on the couch watching TV. Kids are in bed, and my brother, drunk at the time, not sure if that matters though, blurts out, "I see a white-faced kid in Dexter's room looking at us." My eyes got huge. I was just like, holy shit. I never said anything to anyone about that. And all of a sudden, unprompted, my brother is saying the same thing. So later on, I ended up being friends with my kooky neighbor who does, quote, angel card readings and believes in psychic abilities and stuff. So I tell her about this white face thing in Dexter's room. She offers to do a cleansing on my house. So I'm thinking she's going to bring a sage stick over and smudge or whatever, but no. She actually does basically a virtual cleansing and then emails me her reading. She tells me the thing in the closet calls itself Droid, and it's an interdimensional being.
She said she asked him why he was here, and his response was,
"Because I can."
I tried finding the email she sent me, but of course I can't find it. I even asked her if she'd resend it to me years later, but she said she couldn't find it either. Eventually, I did tell my husband, who of course thinks it's ridiculous, as well as my daughter when she turned 18. My daughter lives in that room now, and she's had zero issues. In fact, her bed is actually partly in that closet. My son, now 14, has no recollection of a boy in the closet talking to him. I've only seen the face maybe once or two more times in the last 8 years. Not sure if it matters, but we moved the TV from the wall too, so we rarely face the direction where we would be able to see that door from our periphery.
Interdimensional droid.
Yeah, very, very weird.
Yeah, that seems to be a running theme today. Very weird.
A lot of weirdies in this
episode.
Especially
the droid comment from her psychic neighbor.
This is just a strange, this white-faced, plain white-faced kid. I'm guessing no facial features is the kind of vibe I was getting from that.
Yeah, child size.
An interdimensional child.
Just messing around. I will say that when she said that her brother was drunk, I don't know if that matters. I don't think it does.
Well, not since it's a corroboration sort of thing.
That, but also, I guess, I've never
maybe
seen
it. Maybe it's even more likely that you could see something.
Yeah, something real.
Yeah.
Because
you're in a state of more openness.
Right. Your mind and psyche is probably more lubricated in a way.
We've talked about that before, the argument that, well, you're drunk, so you're going to see something. It's like, I've never seen pink elephants when I got drunk.
Right. You know,
I've never seen an entity walk through a bedroom.
If anything, for me, if I was concerned about being haunted or in a scary situation when drunk, I feel less concerned or looking for anything like that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think you'd see.
You might be affected
by it.
Yeah.
Yeah, unless you're taking a drug that's opening up to some sort of parallel realm. But as far as mistaking, like, alcohol at least doesn't affect me in that
way.
You
don't hallucinate like that.
Yeah. It's a strange kind of thing.
Maybe back in the 1800s when you were drinking, you know.
But obviously the corroboration that he would see that, even if it was some sort of hallucination, that he would see the same thing that she's been seeing in his room.
And the peeking, that's always so creepy. Peeking around corners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Little boy that lives in the closet.
Because I can. That's why he's there.
Yeah, very strange.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that account. Definitely a good weird one to end today's episode with.
Yeah. What do you guys think out there? Do you think there are things that we cannot explain in our own homes?
I hope so by now.
You probably are open-minded to that since you're here.
Could be one of these fellow travelers that we hear about from time to time from some other realm. Just visiting.
Whatever they are, they're in your house. So keep your eyes out.
And starve those ghouls.
Oh, and a quick shout out, by the way, to Jesse.
Yeah, Jesse in Washington.
Washington State. We ran into your sister, Allison. We hear you are an avid listener of the show. And it was an unexpected, fortuitous moment.
Yeah, it was cool.
Of meeting someone totally randomly who had heard the show from across the country. And
got a picture taken?
Got a picture taken and a good hug. Oh, we didn't get a hug.
we didn't get a hug.
I think I thought we got a hug, but it was
a half arm picture pose.
That's right.
You know,
the whole picture event.
Yeah, it was great.
But yeah, if you're listening, Allison, send us a copy of that picture because I'd like to see it. Our first picture with a random sighting on the street.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah. So send that to brothers@beliefhole.com if you're listening. And thanks again for being such an avid listener, Jesse.
Yay!
Love to you in the great state of Washington.
Yes. And to Allie. All right, guys. Well, we're going to do our normal thank yous next episode, but this episode, we're going to do a special thank you to a couple people we know we've missed
that are very special to us, but we screwed up and we missed them. Uncle Sack,
yes.
You, my friend, have been here for a long time, since season one.
Yeah.
So we appreciate you, man. Thanks for being there. Thanks for being patient.
Yes, absolutely. We love you.
And another special thank you to Roberta F.
All right, yes.
Super sweetheart. She's there all the time at the premieres and just a sweet, sweet girl, and she's a dogman whisperer.
Awesome.
So you get a wolf howl for you.
Sorry we missed you. Sometimes it happens. We have a terrible system that is hard to improve.
It's all scotch tape and balsa wood.
Yeah, we got Patreon names coming in, names for our own membership coming in, and it all tries to get combined in a Google Sheet, and it is just a gross nightmare.
We need a secretary.
Oh, and by the way, we've got a special little something for a very long time listener, supporter of the show.
That's true.
She has been with us since close to the beginning.
Champion of the whole.
And she's been a Skywell rider for a very long time too. So she is very, very appreciated. And I decided to thank her with a stinger.
Oh my, lucky gal.
Yeah, so this is a fun one. It's upbeat. Yeah, so I hope she likes it. It's not, when she wrote in to tell me a little bit about herself, she seemed like she was in like metal and country.
Yeah.
And a little more organic.
Not your vein specifically of the style you write, but.
Yeah. So this is actually not even my music. This is a track that we download.
I love this track. Oh yeah. Licensed track.
Licensed track from Epidemic. We get a bunch of music from there. I don't know. I just love the vibe of the track. It's super fun.
Yeah.
And 80s and pop. And yeah, so the lyrics came to me and it all happened like a miracle.
Let's sting her up. I think it will hear your heart juice in it. So
meaty.
Whatever style music, John.
Ready?
Let's, let's, who's this for? Did we say her name?
Yeah, I thought I said it a couple times.
I don't think so.
Oh, did I not say her name?
No. Who's the special lady? Special surprise.
The special lady is none other than Teresa Birch.
Yes, Teresa. Strong as a birch tree. Her support.
Sorry it took so long to make this.
But we appreciate
heartfelt
support, sincerely.
All right, here we go.
Great. Gosh, that's like cotton candy injected into my soul. Sugar catchy. You know what that reminded me of? Not so much what you mentioned before we started rolling, John, but it reminded me of
Blink-182.
Yes. Your voice was like...
Which voice? Mark?
Oh, really?
No, it wasn't Mark Hoppus. It was Tom?
Tom.
Tom DeLonge. That's who you sounded
Tom
like.
Tom DeLonge?
Yeah.
Crazy. The alien one.
I'll take it.
A little more processing on it, but definitely his
like... One of my favorite bands growing up.
Timber?
Yeah, your tone was very similar to his, but that was great, man.
Let's start a punk 80s retro pop band.
Yeah. Let's think about Dogman and...
Yeah, it was a fun one. So hope you like it, Teresa. We really do appreciate you here in the hole. And
yeah, Teresa, you've been awesome.
You're not allowed to leave forever.
No, you've rooted deep into the belief hole and...
Stuck.
We're never going to let you leave.
Gets pretty sticky after you've been here for a while.
That's right. It's true. Whatever that means. Sticky.
I mean, like the floor of the hole is more like...
floor of the hole has not been mopped in a long time.
It's more like super glue.
There you go. The floor of the hole. Super glued.
There's got to be a floor or the ground.
Well, holes
or something.
Usually just keep going. Well, I guess
unless it's bottomless or a black hole.
Those holes have a stopping point.
That's true. Then it's more of a tunnel.
How would it be a hole? It'd just be like you'd be falling forever.
Well, that's kind of what happens. Like in Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
Yeah.
I guess it continues.
I guess they did land.
You can get to the bottom of the hole and you can just like walk down further. But if you're falling... continuously, there's not a real way to orient yourself.
That's the point. That's why it's a terrifying.
It's just too overwhelming.
That's why you go crazy in the hole.
Well, we don't want people to go crazy.
True. We're a limited hole. A finite hole.
All right.
All right. Well, that was great, John. Great work. Yes. And yeah, Teresa, we love you sincerely. You've been ridiculously supportive of the hole, and it really does mean a lot.
Yes.
So thank you for that support.
And thank you to everybody who sent in messages about Jake. This was actually, this stinger was done before...
Yeah, that episode hasn't even come out
before that event happened. So wouldn't have been a mood to do something that happy, but
yeah,
thanks. We got tons of messages. It's been awesome to, Jake is my dog that died, just in case you didn't know.
And also in case you didn't know and haven't seen it on social media or emailed, we've emailed members, but there's an episode relating to that coming out after this one because we recorded them at different times. So
that was actually right after it happened. So that one's more emotional. We're recording this after the episode that we recorded right after.
It's confusing.
Yeah, so this is going to come out
before the episode.
Yeah, so this whole episode, you're happy and upbeat.
Yeah. The one following is a little bit more introspective, but Jake passed away suddenly. It was definitely a rough week and a half. It's been kind of a blur, but I'm starting to feel a little bit better, and it was definitely just wonderful to get all the condolences from people, and we got a lot of really great stories from people that have experienced pretty interesting things after their pets have passed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe they maintain that connection, and we got an episode to prove it.
That's right, man.
Yeah. It's coming up. The next episode will be that installment, and it's a pretty emotional episode.
Yeah. It was pretty raw.
Pretty heavy.
Pretty raw when we recorded that one. So that'll be next, but
yeah, good stuff.
Yeah. Thanks everybody. And hope you guys enjoyed this episode.
Yeah. We definitely are going to have a lot of thank yous probably after. Yeah. So part of the reason that we haven't done thank yous is because of that issue. So if you signed up for the thank you shout out, we promise we will be getting to those in a few episodes, but we're still rebalancing here.
Yeah, so yeah, we have this one and then the next one, which was the Jake episode, which didn't have the right energy. Obviously, no one was in the mood to be excited and
super goofy. Super goofy.
I was pretty downer. So, but yeah, coming up, guys.
We'll be back to our normal selves after the next episode.
Thanks for bearing with us.
Yeah.
All right. We love you guys. We'll see you next time.
Have a miracle of a day.
A miracle with your milk on your pillow.
What?
Is those words that you say the letter I like an E, like
you have a friend that
miracle instead of miracle,
John,
or pillow instead of pillow?
Pillow.
Say milk, John.
I slept on my pillow.
that's like Forrest Gump.
Say you want a glass of a dairy product. How would you say it?
Milk.
Oh, that was good.
Yeah.
Some people say milk, like milk. With an E.
Yeah, I wouldn't
say
do that.
Pillow. Say pillow.
Pillow.
Okay.
Some people say pillow.
Now say miracle.
Miracle.
You said miracle earlier.
Well, maybe I was just...
That's how Dad says it.
I was kind of being a little goofy, so...
Okay.
Have a miracle of a day. Yeah, I wasn't being like...
A little slidey of the tongue.
Oh my gosh, this is going on forever.
Okay. All right, guys.
Awesome, guys. Well, if you remember, we'll see you in the expansion for some incredible tales of wonder. And until next time...
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes things just end.
Turtles in space.
Turtles in space.
That's a good throwback.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Valspar Ultra starts at just $29.98 a gallon. So we've got you covered when your daughter wants to paint her room again, after last year's masterpiece of a unicorn mural.
Dad, please!
Or when you realize that maybe you went too hard on the greige.
I miss color.
Or when you are sure you wanted a home gym, but your elliptical is currently hanging your laundry.
What about a home office?
Shop everything you need for your next phase with Valspar. Available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.